He got mad, so I had drinks. No, I'm not walking around in circles worried about what he thinks. Out with my friend, drinking a drink. I look so close to the bartender, so all the drinks are free.
Hey, this is Calvin, and you're listening to The Purple House on Anchor FM.
What's up? What's up, y'all? Once again, welcome to the Purple House. This is Tracy, and I got my boy Calvin here. What's up, Cal?
Hey, how's it going?
All right. Unfortunately, our DJ Thomas, he's not here today, so we're like doing the ones and twos. So our music is going to be a little different. You know, we're going to play some little grooves and everything like that. Tonight's topic, I thought would be like really serious and very, very controversial. We're doing, do Black lives really matter? The truth behind it all. And I think it's some real issues that have like both of us on the fence. You know what I'm saying? It's like with me, I feel like, yes, Black lives do matter, but also white people lives matter, Asian lives matter. You know, everyone matters. We all have like one life to live, which is the only gift that God has gave to us. And if you guys don't believe in God, whoever's the higher power, or even if you want to leave it to your parents, it was your parents' choice to bring you into this world. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm going to go ahead and throw this into your hands, Calvin. And why don't you give us some, you know, some little excerpts from the good old web of opportunities.
Well, I did some research on hate crimes, actually. And hate crimes are pretty much any crime that is directed toward a certain group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, especially in the last day or so, there was a hate crime in the news. It may not seem like it was a hate crime, but in my opinion, it was a hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was racially motivated.
Right, right.
The case of, I don't know the guy's name. I think his name is Jacob Blake, if I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh.
The father who was actually shot in the back by the police officers. And now he's paralyzed from the waist down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, was it like during this Black Lives Matter protest, or like,
no,
was it just something that was done like on the sideline?
No, from my understanding, he was trying to break up a fight.
Uh-huh.
The police had been called, and when he saw the police were coming, he decided to step back and let the police do their job. But from what I've been told, as he was walking away, I guess the police officers must have thought that he was involved and was somehow fleeing the scene. I'm not sure if they called out to him to stop, but he kept walking and they shot him 6 times.
Right. Well, like with that situation, like the police, well, I think now police wear body cams, right?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, what do they have, like, any proper procedures that they are supposed to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Go through, you know, like for instance, when on Set It Off, when Frankie was working at the bank, they kept asking her, what's the proper procedure when you have a gun directed at your face?
Right.
You know, so for a police officer, I feel like they should have proper procedures to, like, forewarn.
Well, I think even if they do have the proper procedures, stuff can still go wrong. Look at what happened with George Floyd. They followed
right.
The procedures. They had body cams. I mean, I guess they did what they thought was the right thing or what they were trained to do, but still something
to put it wrong. Put their knee on his neck.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I have never been to the police academy yet. I don't want to go to the police academy.
Me neither.
But
me neither.
We don't know what their training, but the training entails. And I'm not in any way defending what happened.
Right.
I'm just simply saying they probably have, like, they have proper policies and procedures that they have to follow. And in a certain situation, in a certain situation, that I guess if they feel their lives are being threatened, then they have to take certain measures. And in the case of George Floyd, those officers, I think they probably felt that that was what needed to be done.
Right.
Their judgment was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think like their judgment was like all the way wrong. First off, what they said was that they assumed that he brought in a counterfeit 20 to a grocery store. Now, I don't think that bringing a counterfeit 20 to the grocery store, the proper procedure is to do that. From what I've heard, also, like, you know, me being a bartender for so many years, we would normally tell them that to notify the person and tell them that the bill is counterfeit. We supposed to also keep the bill and return that bill to the bank.
Okay.
Now we can let them go free. It's not our place to stop them.
Okay.
But we cannot, you know what I'm saying, handle them in certain ways. And I think that if it wasn't like something that was detrimental, it shouldn't, you know, happen like that. But, you know, like, even with the Black Lives Matter, you know, which should have been a peaceful protest, if you compare it to Rodney King's protest, Rodney King's protest actually caused 15, it caused like 1.58 million in damages to the United States.
Wow.
Altogether. This Black Lives Matter protest has actually gave $5 billion, $8 billion of damages to the whole United States. And we're just talking about the United States. And also with the Black Lives Matter, it was between 15 to 26 million people who protested, 1,000 police injuries, and 36 people were killed, including the situation with the killing that happened in Wisconsin a couple of days ago.
Right. I see. I'm all for. I like we were talking earlier. I said I'm on the fence as far as Black Lives Matter, being a member of the Black race.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And granted, I have never, being a light-skinned person of the Black race, I've never had to deal with a lot of the stuff that some of my, you know,
what I call the Mariah Carey-isms.
Yeah, I've never had to deal with, you know, being followed around a store or having people get up when you sit next to them on the metro or,
mm-hmm.
you know, clutch their purse when you walk by them. I've never had to deal with stuff like that.
Right. I mean, well, like me neither. Like, I've never came across as being like, you know, the Black N-I-G-G-A-E-R mm-hmm. word, because, you know, I feel like that word is a term that's used by characteristics now.
Yeah.
It's not as something that people will feel is like so derogatory or, you know what I'm saying, or as much of a racial statement now, or as much of a put down word like now.
It's more like a term of endearment.
Yeah, it's more like a colloquialism. Mm-hmm. You know, so when it comes down to it, I feel like, you know, I remember a long time ago, my mom, she made me realize how words are being used. She told me I used to call a lot of girls bitches.
Uh-huh.
And my mom pulled me to the side one day and she said, well, why would you call her a bitch? Was she acting bitchy? And I had to take the time out to really think about what she said. And it started to get me to use the words in the way that they should be used. And I feel like using the word nigger or nigga or whatever, it goes with that characteristic. So if you're acting like in that form of being an asshole, then you're a nigga. It doesn't matter if you're Black, white, blue, green, or yellow. You know?
No, I have never used any variation of the word because, for one, people would look at me funny if I did. Okay.
Right.
What is this white man doing? I'm like, no, I swear, I'm not a white man. I swear, okay? But no, I have never used the word. I never will use the word N-I-G-G-E-R or N-I-G-G-A.
Right. Right.
To me, it's it's always been a derogatory word. It will always be a derogatory word, especially because of the, you know, what it, you know, denotes, what happened, what, you know, how it was used back in the day. You know, to humanize black people.
Right, right. I totally feel that. I totally feel that. You know, like when it comes down to, you know, a lot of things that happened to our ancestors in the past. And that's why I totally like go on the fence with everything with this. Like our ancestors didn't go through what they went through for just black people in general to have the power. You know, they went through what they went through for us so that we could stand for what Martin Luther King believed in, that it's not about a black race or a white race. It's the human race,
right,
that we're all created equally and the same. You know what I'm saying? That we can walk together hand in hand. And if we wanted to use the word nigga toward each other, then it was used toward all races. You know what I'm saying? Or if we wanted to, you know, use these different colloquialisms that denounce or, you know, represents slavery and everything, then we would use them and turn it around so they would benefit in the form of love and passion,
right,
toward one another, to let them know that, hey, you know, we all niggas. We all came on the boat here together. If some of us didn't come together, but we did get here on the boat. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about, you know, like I say, at the end of the day, love. You know, and the reason why I feel we go through so much of these things that we're going through, like the Black Lives Matter protest and the Rodney Kings and, you know, all of these things that the media shows that makes them want to use the word, you know, in such a bad, you know, image, is because that, you know, we're like so ignorant to the terms and not taking the time out to benefit for ourselves and study to show ourselves approve that we're able to, you know what I'm saying, deal with what happened to our ancestors in the past that makes us stronger today.
Right.
You know?
Now, just a helpful fact about the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't really know what it means.
Right.
I just looked it up on dictionary.com and it's actually as an adjective.
Uh-huh.
And it's spelled N-I-G-G-A-R-D-L-Y.
Uh-huh.
And this is probably the only time you ever hear me say the word, niggardly.
Uh-huh.
It's a mean or ungenerous person. And how that has evolved over time to being, that's my, you know what. So you saying he's stingy? I mean, that's how I'm taking it. Maybe I'm
now,
making
see,
too much into
to say
it.
an ungenerous person.
Yeah.
I mean, if we was to use it in a term correctly, then all of us has been niggers.
Exactly.
Not just blacks, whites, Asians, Europeans. You know what I'm saying? Indian.
Right.
You know, we've all been that term. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, If you look at it and you go with the dictionary, that's been moms, that's been dads, that's been kids, that's been teachers, that's been doctors and lawyers, you know?
And as much as I hate the use of that word, I can understand why that word means so much to, you know, black people.
Mm-hmm.
They took a word that was meant to make them feel less than human, like they meant nothing.
Uh-huh.
And they embraced it. They made it, that's like a term of endearment. They made it something as a symbol of strength and...
Right,
you know,
right. So. I mean, we've been... I mean, don't get me wrong. We as black people have... Right, make lemonade. We've been decriminalized so much. I mean, look at the representation of the best pancakes ever, Aunt Jemima.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And she is the representative of black house slaves.
Which, by the way, they took off the market.
Right.
I'm a little bit disappointed. I mean,
right, because that was some good old syrup and pancakes,
yeah,
honey. You know, Miss Butterworth, you know.
Uncle Ben's.
Right, Uncle Ben's, you know what I'm saying? And but they still got Quaker on the cover.
Mm-hmm. They still got Miss Butterworth, too.
But, y'all, we're going to pause right there. This is going to get really, really deep. And we'll be right back with the Purple House, y'all.
She's all alone and they never met her family. Mama's always gone and she never met her daddy. Part of her is missing and nobody'll listen. Mama's on drugs, getting up in the kitchen, bringing home in the different hours of the night. Starting with some laughs, usually ending in a fight. Sneaking in a room when her mama's knocked out. Trying to have his way and little Lisa says ouch. She tries to resist, but then all he does is beat her. Tries to tell her mom, but her mama don't believe her. Lisa's stuck up in the world on her own. Forced to think that hell is a place called home. Nothing else to do but get some clothes and pack. She says she's about to run away and never come back.
Yeah, run away. All right, y'all. All right, we're back with the Purple House, y'all. This is Tracy. I still got Kelv here. What's going on, babes? You doing good?
I'm doing good.
All right, y'all. We're going to get right back into this. Unfortunately, Thomas is not here today, so we're going to, like, totally keep this rolling without him in his absence. One quick shout-out. I want to get a shout-out to my girl, Adina. Me and her used to work together at Varets. And I want to give her a special happy birthday. Happy birthday,
happy
Adina.
Birthday.
And, y'all, we are definitely about to get back into this. And now we're going into this Wisconsin shooting with, is his name, not Jacob Blake, right?
Yeah, that's the...
That's the one in Illinois.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got to go to Wisconsin first.
Yeah, so apparently there was a peaceful, what's supposed to be a peaceful protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where two people were killed.
Right.
Or injured by 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse. He has since been charged with first-degree intentional homicide because he went to the protest with the mindset to kill people.
Right.
But my thing is, how police handled this incident so differently than they handled the one with Jacob Blake.
Uh-huh.
Whereas Jacob Blake was automatically thought of to be the assailant, the bad person, or has something to do with it, and immediately shot. This guy, Kyle Rittenhouse, was seen walking up the street with the gun in his hand. The police passed him, not knowing.
Right, I seen that in the video.
That he had already killed two people. So I'm like, it just goes to show that how race relations in this country is so messed up.
Not only that, like, I mean, I feel like, you know, when it comes down to the media, you know, like, we use the media for so many wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why, you know, I used to tell my friends from my previous shows is that, you know, I thank God that I actually have a platform where I can reach people and talk to them and, you know, help them to with whatever issues that may be with what I talk about. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Another man's test is another man's testimony.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like when it comes down to the media, like the media, they promote so much negativity now.
Right.
That we don't have time to push the positive. And my thing is, like, when it comes down to this here, how do the parents, like, allow this type of stuff to go on? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, for instance, with the two that made the pipe bomb. Remember, and right. They brought it to the school and blew up. How do you not know that your child is about to walk out the door with a shotgun?
I think a lot of time for that, people become disillusioned.
Right.
Parents can become disillusioned about their kid. Oh, no, not my child.
Right,
If a person, if the child comes home and they're in a sullen mood, they don't want to talk, they seem like they have an attitude, that's just them being a teenager.
Right.
Sometimes it's more than them just being a teenager. Sometimes it's they're going through something and they feel like they have no one they can talk to. And so the only way they can go ahead and deal with it is do something like that. So yeah, as a parent, as parents, I don't know how they would, you know.
Uh-huh.
I know personally, I don't have any children. I have a lot of nieces and nephews.
Right.
And if I learned that one of them did something heinous like that, I don't know how I would react.
Right, I wouldn't know. I mean, shit, I know how I react. Put their ass in jail.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't, I'm a killer. And y'all have to put me in jail. You know, like, I mean, as much as I've gotten my ass beaten, and Lord knows I've got my ass beaten with everything in the book and the book itself, I would never in a million years think about going grab a gun from my parents' house. Now, if I was on my own and some issues happened, hell yeah, I'll grab my gun myself. But if I'm living in my parents' house or whatever, and it's an issue of any matter that I feel that a gun needs to be involved in, I think I should, like, talk to my parents about this issue and let them deal with it.
Right.
Instead of me going out there and dealing with it. I mean, because, you know, like, first of all, at 17 years old, I'm not on that mindset of thinking that my problems are that big that I need to go shoot someone.
And why at 17 do you have access to
a gun? Right.
But I have another question. I wonder, why do you think the police, different states, different, you know, areas, why do you think one set of police officers handled a similar incident, you know, these two incidents, why do you think the police handled them so differently? Why is it that the black father was shot in the back by white officers while this young man who was walking down the street wielding a gun after having already shot and killed two people, the police just roll on by as if nothing? I mean, do you really believe that it's, oh, one was black and one was white? Or do you just
Yeah. I can't beat around the bush with that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the reason why I say this, I've heard of an example with Walmart. Okay. Walmart has a statistic that more black people steal from Walmart than white people. So they're more looked at, blacks are more looked at and watched and followed by they're the loss prevention team that dresses like regular customers.
Is that a fact though? Is it a fact that more black people steal, or is it the fact that more black people are caught?
Probably it's because more black people are caught.
Yeah, because
you know, because like this white girl that I know, she was also telling me about this, mm-hmm. And she says, well, it's better for me to go steal out of Walmart, because that's all I say, because I can't steal. I say, if I try to steal, I feel like everybody looking at me, mm-hmm. And I'm gonna get caught anyway, you know. But she told me, she said, well, when it comes down to it, loss prevention watches the blacks more than the whites. So if we go in there and we walk out like we own it, baby, they're not gonna tell us nothing. And that's, to me, I think that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to sit here and just based on my race or the way that I dress or the way that I look or carry myself means that I don't have no money and I could be the one being the big baller pulling out loads of fucking cash, you know? And Definitely. Instead, they're sitting there trying to hold me down while Miss Wigglesworth.
Right.
You know, she's walking on out of here with a whole brand new TV that she ain't paid for, don't have a receipt or none of that. But the moment I get to the door, because I don't have a Coca-Cola inside of the bag, they want to see the receipt, how much change I have in my pocket bag from it, and everything else. So, yeah, I feel that when it comes down to, like, you know, making those types of decisions, you know, I think that they are on blacks more. You know, which totally enables the situation that you was talking about. Like, you know, you walk past a white person in the car, the first thing they do is lock the car, you know. And honestly, I do it too, but I'm vice versa. When a white person walk past my car, I lock my shit up too.
Well, for me, I don't care what they look. If they look suspicious.
Right, I'm right.
But no, when you talk about the blacks are watched more in Walmart and... They're watching the wrong people. It reminds me of the time when Oprah was overseas somewhere. Oprah was one of the richest women in the world, and a black woman at that. She went to some, I forget, I don't know if it was Louis Vuitton or Hermes or something. It was one of those really big designers. She went into the store, and because she was black, the people who worked in the store, they didn't think that Oprah could afford the bag.
Right.
So it was like one of those, that pretty woman moment, you know?
Right, yeah, and you know what? That's so crazy. You know, like, I watch like, these little things that they had on YouTube where they would show, like, the white dude was all dressed up in a nice suit and everything, and he went to go buy a car, and a black man who was dressed in, like, you know, everyday clothing, he went to go buy the same car. So when both of them walked inside of the building, they looked at the white man dressed up, and they pushed for him to buy the car, and the black man, he they kind of, like, you know, talk down to him, like, you know, I don't even know why you're in here, you can't afford this car and everything like that. And the white dude, when they went for him, got him to, like, to bring him in to do the paperwork for the car, everything, he didn't have good credit, he couldn't afford the car. So then he said, well, can I just take pictures in the car for Instagram? So it was, and then, you know, the dude who was down in the black man, you know, he felt played because the guy, you know, he couldn't get the car, which means he couldn't get the sale. Now, the other lady who was talking to the black guy, she went to go do the paperwork and said, well, do you want us to check your credit? And he opened up his bag and said, hey, I have all cash. Paid for the nice car in cash, rolled out with it and everything. And, you know, it just goes to show you that at the same time, you totally can't judge a book by its cover, you know. But, you know, another thing also, from what I'm reading right now, it was also saying that the police thought that he was trying to protect the people from the looting. Yeah, right. And also now, after his arrest, they're also trying to find out if he's a part of a vigilante group. But my thing...
Well, if he's charged with intentional homicide, then I would... Yeah, I think he's part of... He went there for a purpose. I don't know whether he was part of a militia group or whatever, whatever. He went there with a purpose because he wouldn't have been charged the way he was charged. You know, if that wasn't the case.
Right. And at the same time, though, I feel like this type of stuff that's happening, is it for a good cause? Yes. I really do think it's for a good cause. But the way that they're doing it, when I always say it's not what you do, it's how you do it, the way that they're doing this, I totally feel that it's wrong. You know, because... if you're promoting it over and over again as Black Lives Matter, people will retaliate by saying, well, so you only think Black Lives Matter?
Right.
What about our lives? Which also starts a reversal racial issue.
Right. And like you said, it's how you do it. Like, I am all for, like I said earlier, I'm all for Black Lives Matter. I'm all for that movement, you know. Granted, all lives matter, but I understand why they're doing it. But you don't have to riot. You don't have to burn buildings. You don't have
right.
to.
Right.
That's not. That's making the whole. That's making a mockery.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's making it seem like they're no better.
You know.
Than the people
yeah. Of course.
Against.
You know. And then you know, like, I just feel like, you know, when it comes down to that, a lot of people are not really thinking. Period. But we're going to hold that thought right there. We're going to continue this, y'all. We'll be right back with the Purple House. Oh, okay. I thought my music was messing up, y'all. We'll be right back. About the wind in your hair, you know what I'm saying? It just make you feel it, right? for real. Shout out to A. Marie. Take it to myself. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Purple House. Oh, you was talking about Trade. Oh, I love Trade too, though. Oh, shout outs to Grindr. Y'all are doing very, very amazing. Y'all got some hot boys. Put some more tops on there.
Thank you.
Put some cute, hot, straight boys on Grindr or something. I don't know. Do something with Grindr. Come on, Grindr, hook us up. The Purple House. Well, you know, to get back to our little show and everything, before we left off, I was saying, you know, I feel like we're not thinking. And, you know, when it comes to the reason why I say that, it's like when we all started this pandemic with the coronavirus, it was told that we all must stay inside. As we watched the media started to turn it around saying that it affects the elders of our communities. Mm-hmm. Then as scientific studies came through, they said, now hear this out, because I ain't even brought this to you yet. They said that the coronavirus was attacking more Blacks than any other race. Okay? Now, we're going through this pandemic. They're telling us to stay inside so we can be safe. Mm-hmm. That it attacks our elders. Majority of the race that's being attacked is Blacks. And now it has dropped from elders to now attacking the youth.
Right.
But still, majority is Black race. Now, during all of this that happened with the pandemic, the George Floyd breaks out. Mm-hmm. All of the media that was pushing, don't go out, don't do this, don't do that, because of Black race and because of elders, and a situation happens with someone Black that causes a ruckus in the United States,
right,
that says, okay, now we must stand and for what's right.
And that probably helps.
And it takes all of the eyes off of this invisible killer, as they say, to focus on all of our black brothers and sisters that are out and on these videos. I don't see any masks, a lot of people wearing masks.
Right.
I don't see, you know what I'm saying? I don't see a lot of people being prepped up for the pandemic of, well, we should only be up to amount of 6 people to a group or 10 people to a group. We're seeing groups of thousands and hundreds of people at these protests. But no one is saying anything about the pandemic during that time. Now that it starts to die back down, you notice we started getting spikes in all of these areas where the protest was really, really huge at.
It sounds like, though, and I'm not one of those conspiracy theorists who says this is all part of, quote unquote, the white man's plan or whatever, whatever. I'm not one of those people. But just hearing how it played out, it kind of does make you wonder, hey, maybe this is what they wanted to happen, you know, but we will never know. And if you do find out, it probably won't be until years and years and years later. But I mean,
well, you know, when it came down to this pandemic, that it was already brought to a head 2 years before it happened. Dr. Fauci, he was at a college. He was at a college doing a speaking at a seminar or whatever. And he said 2 years ago that 2 years later, there's going to be a viral pandemic that attacks the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, also was another big thing was, you know, during this time, a lot of conspiracies or conspiracy theories have been put into play, such as the RFID chip. What else it is? It's the RFID chip. It's the Illuminati thing with the 666. You know, we have this thing about the 5G that's giving the radiation. You know, all of these things that's coming into play that a lot of people really are not paying attention to. Like,
That's funny you should say that with the 5G. I was watching some show, a few weeks back, and if you look back in history, whenever you had like a huge spike in, for example, pandemics, the Spanish flu 100 years ago or something,
right?
And now it's the coronavirus. Whenever you had big spikes in viruses and diseases like that, technology was a boost in technology.
Right.
So they're trying to find that there's a correlation between 5G and possibly, because you know, it originated in China. 5G is pretty much everything right now in China is 5G before over here.
Right, yeah. So I mean, even to the point, like, you know, which it caught me by surprise that, you know, I pay attention to technology. Yeah, I do have the iPhone 11 Pro. I wanted the S25. The Samsung, I wanted that one because I had the S10 Plus.
Okay.
But I went back to doing the iPhone, but as I was doing the research on those or whatever, it was interesting that it dawned on me that China did not want to produce the 9.
Why?
The iPhone 9, which became the iPhone SE.
Okay.
The reason why they didn't want to was because the 10 and the 10X... X and the XM and the XR was out, and they felt that 9 was a downgrade. They made 9 the SE, which is cheaper.
So it's still the 9. Okay.
That's out right now, you know, but it's only out everywhere except for China.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, I look at that. Also, I pay attention to, like, you know, like we were saying with the pandemic, you know, I think a lot of it has a lot to do with politics.
Everything that happens nowadays is politics.
Right, right. You know, I feel like this Black Lives Matter incident is going to play a major role in the politician events that are coming up. You know, do I think that a lot of things could have been done differently? Yes. I feel like, You know, even with this corona thing, I feel Donald Trump could have handled it differently. Mm-hmm. Especially like, you know, you're from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And for me, my shock value happened when I watched the news out there and noticed that y'all local news is Capital News every day.
Yeah.
So it's not like, okay, we have Capital News. It's like, really, exactly. Locally, this shit is happening in the White House.
White House on their TV,
right,
every day.
So it goes, and I did not know that it actually went down like that in the White House. It goes, they do some Olivia Pope type shit in the White House, honey. Like,
well, maybe Olivia Pope need to come and give it this corona, okay?
All right. Because, you know, like, I see that, you know, Donald Trump has done throughout so many innuendos on how things were going to happen, and it didn't. Then they call him out on it, and he has amnesia. And
famous for backtracking.
Yeah, he is famous for the backtracking. You know, and it all, and my thing is, all of that pushes toward this event right now. And I feel like, you know, instead of Donald Trump as president, like, really putting a lid on this, which he can do.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he stirs the pot up by causing more controversy. Like, his election campaign is still going to be a whole bunch of crazy shit going on once again, where people wants to grab the America by the pussy, you know, and, you know, they want to, you know, say that the black people are ignorant because they're Democrats, you know, but we have... You know, they have white people that are Democrats, too, and don't know that, you know, all the decisions that the White House and the House of Representatives and, you know, the Senate, all the rules and stuff that they make are not going to just affect Democrats. It's going to affect Republicans as well. So if they cut the Social Security for the rich grandmothers and grandfathers, guess what? Y'all going to have to go in y'all retirement fund and use y'all money.
Take care.
You know,
I'm not into politics. I vote when I need to vote and what have you. I just hope that people do get out this November and
right.
Vote, whether it's mail-in ballot or you go to the ballot place and the polling
right.
place. Because, I mean, we can't do...
Please vote.
We can't do 4 more years of Trump.
No.
And a word to the Democrats. I mean, the Democrats, they're making all of these promises and, you know, they are, you know, down-talking Trump, which he deserves because he's that's what he's famous for.
Right.
But like Ice Cube said, what are the Republicans going to do for African Americans? If you're going to say it, that you're going to do it, you got to stick to your word.
Right, so. Right. One thing that I can say is during this pandemic, I've seen more black elites. What the ones that make over $100,000, the doctors, the lawyers, the movie stars, the athletes.
No, I'm not part of that.
Right. But I've seen more blacks on commercials telling our people to stay in because of the pandemic. And I look on, like, you know, Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that, and I see that more of the white elite are at home, face full of hair, beards, hairs haven't been combed or done in years, look like it, but they are staying inside.
Yeah, because they have that luxury. I mean, they have that luxury, you know, they have the well-paying jobs where they can stay home and shelter in place or
true, because
quarantine
like,
themselves.
If I was like Arnold Schwarzenegger that had like a donkey and a baby horse that be in my house all day, every day, then I'll be home too.
I mean, we're here in New Orleans, and which is a predominantly black city. And
right.
It's, I think, I'm not going to say the, one of the poorest, but it's like, it's not like Georgetown and Rodeo Drive. It's,
right.
This is a working class city.
Right.
And a lot of working class people don't have the option of, I guess I'll just quarantine myself. They have to get up to go to work.
Right, yeah, because the landlord still want them coins,
exactly.
Baby. Exactly, you know. And the thing about it is, it's just, that's why I feel that the media has to really step up and play like a very, very important role in this time, you know, during all of this pandemic warfare, this Black Lives Matter protest, because the media, such as Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, you know, which, you know, now we don't really tend to watch regular TV or, you know, mainstream from those different things like that. But, you know, it's time for them to step up. And I represent, you know, I totally support like Kylie Jenner, you know what I'm saying, for her efforts in trying to maintain everything during the pandemic. And, you know, like, you know, with LeBron James and all the rest of them, you know, Shaq and all them, you know, because they are trying to tell our Black people, you know, that it is an issue with us being out there in the open, and that this invisible virus can take over and, you know, like kill us basically. Yeah. Because like, from what I'm hearing, once you go on the ventilator, there's a very, very small chance of you coming back. You know what I'm saying? And I do thank God that we who live in this house, because you guys, it's a big house. We who live in this house have not been contracted with, you know, this virus, you know, and I pray that you guys who are listening, y'all families haven't contracted this virus as well. And also we're finding out that once you get the virus and you do survive, you only get the antibodies for 3 months to fight it.
Really?
Yes. So there is a chance for it to come back. And then we have to step it up even more so, because if this virus has taken out this many people during the summer side of the year, just wait till it gets cold.
Yeah. Because the symptoms are very similar to flu.
Right.
So a lot of people could have the coronavirus and think, oh no,
I and don't even know it. Right. Like,
third flu ain't gonna fix the coronavirus.
Right, because my ex thought he had it. And I thought he had it too after they said it, but he didn't, because I didn't catch it. But he was so sick from just the flu that he was pale as hell. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, he couldn't barely breathe. It was like to the point that he felt like he was going to die. And I was telling him, I said, boy, you better drink this coffee and smoke this weed and cough that shit out. For real, you know. And so, you know, shout out to the weed places, the dispensaries, because if it wasn't for y'all, half of us wouldn't be able to get over the cold without coughing that shit out, you know. So, shout outs to that.
Half of the weed smokers probably wouldn't be able to deal with corona, whatever, wasn't for the weed. I mean, you know.
Right. You know, it's just so crazy. It's so crazy to, like, see that. But, you know, one thing that I do want to say, I pray and my prayers go out to all of the families who have lost someone during this Black Lives Matter protest. I also want to give prayers out to all of the families who have lost someone, you know, during this coronavirus pandemic, you know. And I hope y'all getting some coins, because like, I've been sitting here waiting on my unemployment and my other stimulus check so I could get me a car. Hi, mama. My mama said she's gonna buy me a car. I need to get these coins. So unemployment people, if y'all listening, please send me my coins. Or if anybody out there want to send some coins, y'all can cash at me at $Tracy5044. Please.
Well, let me throw our cash apps out there. Let me make sure I throw mine out there. It's $Cherish. That's $CHARRISHED.
Thank you. We need them coins, y'all. Please support the Purple House podcast, y'all. And we're going to have like some more things coming up. One thing I want to say that we have coming up tomorrow, we will be having an up-and-coming artist interview and feature some of his tracks on the Purple House podcast. Make sure y'all check that out. His name is Zay, Z-E-A. Y'all can check him out at Zay Ross on YouTube and on SoundCloud. So make sure y'all definitely be on the lookout for that. And I will be having a get to know one-on-one interview. Well, it won't be one-on-one because Kelvin will still be here. I don't know what Thomas is going to be, but Kelvin will be here. And we'll have an interview with the one and only Zay. And he's going to, like, throw some music at us and we could get to know him. And I hope y'all, like, totally support him as well. You have any coming up things that...
Well, no, I'm just going to reiterate what you were saying about sending prayers to the families of everybody who has been affected by the corona, the riots, but especially to the family of Mr. Jacob Blake.
Yeah.
Shot in the back. And also to the family of Kyle Rittenhouse. I mean, even though he was responsible for killing two people, his family shouldn't have to suffer. So I want to send prayers to his family that they can get through this tough and difficult time.
Right, right. You know, and one thing also, you know, to add on, I knew we way behind in, on our numbers. We're supposed to have stopped at 15 minutes, but we're going to keep this going a little bit. You know, and one thing is that, you know, I feel also we as a world of human beings, we need to not condemn a family for one's misuse or for someone's, you know, decisions, you know, because we can't control someone's mind. You know what I'm saying? I feel like we should have our prayers go out to what's his name again? I forgot his name. Jacob Blake, his family, but also for Kyle's family as well, because, you know, like, they have to deal with a lot of issues that deal with, like, judicial systems right now. And one thing we know, black people, we do not like the popos. You know that. You know, and I guess for the other ones as well who smoke that weed like us, we do not want to deal with the popos. But we'll be right back with some remarks and... we'll be closing out the Purple House, y'all. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Y'all, welcome to the Purple House. Even though we're at the end of our show tonight, I want to say thank y'all for listening and keep supporting us. Tell y'all friends, tell y'all family about us. We want to tell you guys, like, well, right now we are in the midst of Hurricane Laura. We've just found out that Laura has rapidly intensified into a Category 4 as it hits landfall. It's going to hit near Lake Charles, and Lake Charles, Louisiana, and the winds will be up to 150 miles an hour. So y'all be careful out there. We're in New Orleans, which we're on the west side. The west, is it the west of? No, we're on the east side of it. Yeah, so I think we may be okay. But they're saying, like, the west side of it might get hit a little bad. So you guys in Lake Charles, our prayers go out to you. The storm surge and damaging winds are catastrophic. So be careful, you guys. Anything you want to say on this hurricane?
Not on the hurricane per se, but just how much of a pleasure it has been doing this podcast with Tracy.
Thank you.
For these past couple, you know, past few days. It's been exciting, and you know, I'm having a really good time.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you very much. I'm so glad you're on the show, Calvin. It gives us a chance. Like I say, it's a platform for us to let people know that, hey, it's not just sissies out here, or it's not just trans out here, or it's not just gays and straights. We all have something important to do on this earth while we're here. That's why we are here,
right?
To actually, you know, put that good effort and that positive influence out there to let people know that, hey, at the same time, it's not these people who have all of this money in the world that we have to listen to, because we don't have to worry about where our next Birkin bag is coming from. We have real problems, just like y'all out there, because sometimes we don't know how we're gonna pay our own light bill and our own rent sometimes. That's why we're doing the podcast. Hint, hint, send us them coins. You know, another thing about the hurricane, they're saying that inland flood risk as far as it will go north and east as Arkansas and Ohio and the Tennessee valleys. And it's also going to have isolated tornadoes that will be expected during this hurricane. So if y'all are staying in y'all spots, y'all hunker down. My prayers go out to y'all, and thank y'all for y'all prayers toward us in New Orleans as we go through this hurricane and this pandemic. Some words of encouragement, you guys. Love one another. Love yourself. Like RuPaul says, if you can't love yourself, then how in the world can you love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. So, Cal, let the people know one more time where they can reach you at, babes.
You can always reach me on Twitter. My handle is @joiedevie_79. That's @JOIEDEVIE_79. Or on my Facebook, C. Nathaniel Harris.
That's what's up. Normally, Thomas to be here to, like, you know, give y'all his creds, but he ain't here. So, Thomas, where you at? Get your butt here, sir. And if y'all want to, like, holler at me, y'all can holler at me on Facebook, Tracy Alexander, or y'all can check out the Miseducation of Tracy Alexander. And y'all can totally check out the store, Equal to None. The website is equaltonone504.com. Y'all definitely check that out. We got some great men apparel and accessories there. And we have things that support Black Lives Matter and the LGBT community. Y'all, thank y'all for checking us out. And we hope to see y'all soon. Peace out from the Purple House, y'all.
See y'all later.
Around the park, after dark, found a spot, us the spark, conversation, verbal
stimulation,
share our situation, temptation, education, relaxation, elevation. Maybe we can talk about Revelations 3:17.
Or maybe we can see a movie, or maybe we can see a play on Saturday.
Or maybe we can feel the trees and listen, feel a symphony, or maybe chillin' just me. Or maybe we can take a cruise and listen to the roots, or maybe eat some passion food, or maybe